Black Girls Laughing, back at it again with the dope takes on current events.
And a super quickie, the quickest quickie, the super quick quickity quick.
Yeah, we've got busy lives, but we love you guys, so we're making time for you.
And also, it's been quite a hassle attempting to record this episode, because it is the most Monday of Mondays, because we're recording this one on a Monday instead of a Sunday, and life is looking at us and being like, don't ever do this again.
Mm-hmm. Lord's mad at us for not doing it on his day.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah. So how you doing, B?
Today sucks, but I'm not going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about my weekend, which was great. I was in New York. It was awesome. I got to see one of my best friends, Sarah. You met her when she came to visit over the summer.
Yes. Lovely Sarah. Yeah.
And we went to see BAP at Terminal 5 on Saturday, which was my first K-pop concert.
You are official now.
Yo, it was so good. I knew they were real. You know these people are real, but they also live on the other side of the world. So the idea of seeing them in person, in real life, singing and dancing on a stage and hearing them talk to you doesn't really click until you're there looking and you're like, oh my God, you're not a fictional character. You're a real person. I can see you with my own two eyes in 3D. So it was so awesome. I plan on going to more, and if anything, it solidified my resolve to go to KCON in New York this summer. So any of you listening want to go to KCON, I'm 90% sure that I'm going to be there.
I'm 4% sure that I'm going to be there.
KCON for maybe everyone, maybe.
That's so cool. I was checking out your Insta story and it looked lit AF. I wish I could be there dancing around. Just a good time. And were you in the adult section? Because it looked like you were in above everyone else.
So the interesting thing about K-pop concerts is, you have general seating and then you have standing for most concerts. Well, for K-pop, they have different levels. So it's P1, P2, P3, and it goes on. And P1 are the people that dropped a lot, more money to go. So they get to stand in the pit. And they also either probably bought a fan meet, so they get to take a picture or
get their hugs
and or stuff. A high touch, yeah, where they get to high five and get an autograph. So they get P1, which means they get to stand in the general standing area, and then the levels go on. But it was really different for this concert because Terminal 5 is a club. So you have the general club area and then I guess what you would consider the club levels, and that's what you could go on. So I could have ended up on the third section. Or in the center above, but I ended up on the side. I actually had a pretty crappy spot for the concert. Honestly, it wasn't it was probably one of the worst places I've ever been for a concert in my life. But usually when I go to concerts, I pay for general admission and want to stand on the floor. But I was really nervous that I was going to be in a pit of rowdy 13 to 16 year olds, because a lot of groups do skew younger, but I also didn't take in the fact that this group has been out a lot longer and they've gone away and come back. So the people that are still loyal are actually pretty close to me in age, so I probably would have been fine in the pit, but that's something I know for next time. But for like a first concert experience, it was great. And a lot of my pictures sucked. But then there was this really tall kid beside me and I tapped him on the shoulder and I was like, can you like take my phone and just take a bunch of pictures for me? And he was really nice and he did. So kid that stood beside me, you're never going to listen to this, but thank you for the awesome pictures that are getting lots of notes on Tumblr and left me with great memories from a very good day. Because before that concert, I also went out and went shooting with a camera, guys. Every time I say that, some people are like, what? But I went and took some shots of New York with my camera, with my friend. So it was a really nice day. It was a really awesome Saturday. And then Sunday, I went to this concert at Carnegie Hall. It was the guy who helped arrange the music for Pitch Perfect. He's really big in the a cappella world. And they were having this like a cappella concert with like some of the best groups in the country. And like a bunch of children singing a cappella, and I got to go for free, so that doesn't hurt. But it was like I was thrust back into the world of choral nerds, and I haven't been in that world in so long. So it was really white, of course.
But duh, yeah.
But it was so nerdy, and I was like, God, and like watching the kids on stage and like seeing the ones doing the most, and I was like, remember when you could just like watch a performance and be like, oh, those are the annoying nerds. Like, those are the ones that do the most. That, like, the undercover nerds are like, ugh, stop.
Yes.
Yes.
That's just like any theater competition or anything like that. We're just like, oh, yeah, you guys are the freaks. We're the cool version of this.
Like, I also have friends outside of chorus in the theater, so
I get invited to football parties too.
Yes, exactly. But enough about my weekend. I saw your gorgeous photos, so I'm excited to hear about your hiking and your weekend.
Yeah, so I went hiking this weekend. It was beautiful in southern Colorado, and we went out to Mount Florescent. This is like a fossil national park where you can see like million-year-old redwoods. And like they're like fossilized. So these are like redwoods that freaking Littlefoot ate off of, you know? Like these old trees. So just like feeling like very, very connected with like the world. And like where, like how far and how old it is. And then we went on a 5-mile hike, and it was like up mountains. So I went up like 51 flight of stairs that day. So my butt was very, very, very sore the next day, like ridiculously sore. But it was just beautiful. It was nice to just go out. Jordan and I have really been enjoying our little adventures we get to go on every weekend. It was just awesome to be out there. We're so out of shape, but like we know that we're going to get better at it. We have these lofty goals of going on like a multiple day hike in October. So we're in training mode. We are getting our cardio on and getting our doing some weight training so we can be ready to carry a pack. Because I mean, this shit is no joke. You're like, oh, you're going hiking. That's just walking. No. When you're thousands of feet already up in elevation because you're in Colorado, and then you're climbing up more, your body is just like, whoa. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? So it was a lot of like stopping. I was using the beauty around me to like stop and catch my breath. I was like, oh, I just can't take how beautiful it is. Let's stand and look at it. And like there were just like straight up times where I felt like I was a hobbit walking in Middle Earth. It's just great. And it was just like a 40-minute drive from our house, and we got to just be on the other side of Pikes Peak, which is the 14 14 miler or whatever in Colorado Springs. So we're usually on the east side of it, but we went to the west side of it, so we got to see it from a different angle and just see nature. I saw these beautiful bluebirds. I'm like wanting to learn what birds are so I could like spot them out, since I'm going to be seeing different types on these wilderness adventures. there was a lot of like little piles of little pellets of shit, and we were like, what are the animals that are shitting everywhere? And like, I want to see what these animals are, because it was everywhere. And there was like prairie dogs or like chipmunks all over the place, and they just like pop up and be like, hey, and then run away. And then it's like an old settlement on the ground, so we got to see where like original settlers in that area lived, learned a lot about like the women were so much a part of that settlement life. And so learning about the women that just like held down the settlement and people living there. And apparently in this area, there was a ton of fossil digging up. Like people came like in 1800s and they were like, oh shit, there's fossils here, well I'm gonna take a souvenir. And so everyone just like rolled out there and just like dug up all the fossils, to the point that back in the 1800s they were like, shit, we need to slow down with this, guys, back up. And so they were able to preserve and save some of those fossils. But yeah, it was just cool. I'm excited to learn more about the geology of Colorado, and then all of the fossils and animals that are in these mountains that people are digging up, just like what was here before we were around. So it was a good time. I can't wait to do more hiking. I already know what one of my birthday presents are from Jordan. There's some new hiking boots, so I'm Yay! Super stoked to not have to do it in my sneakers anymore. Yeah, just like get into the gear and all that stuff. And like, what's really sad is like, I like to do Insta stories throughout the day, and when you're out in nature, you can't do that. So like, I took a bunch of pictures with my phone. It's so necessary for me to get a camera, so I'm like on the hunt to find a decently priced, you know, starter camera for me, because I want to capture the beauty of it, and the phone is just not doing it for me. Like, some of the pictures are really nice, but it was just a billion times more gorgeous there, and I want to be able to capture that more. And I'm looking into hiking groups, and again, I want to find people of color who hike. Like, I want to hang out with Black people hiking. I started following some Instagram pages. Black Outdoors is one of them that just really highlights beautiful Black people having a great time in the wilderness, climbing every mountain, forging every sea, having a great time. Oh, I want to be featured soon, because I'm climbing a mountain every week until someone tells me I can't, and no one will, because I'm a grown-ass woman.
Climb every mountain.
No, I'm really looking forward to having you come visit me, and we can just like climb the mountains and be like, the hills are alive with the sound of music. I want to do it all, because like, it's gonna get so beautiful. Like, I was out there and like the grass was still dead, but you could still see like the blue and the green and just the gorgeousness of the texture of the land. And like, once that grass is alive, it's going to be
gorgeous.
Something for me to lay in. I just can't wait.
I know. Now you're intriguing me of being like, should I just come in October? Should I come in the spring and October and be a part of your multi-day? Because I feel like the fall there is going to be...
Well, we're going to go, we're going to actually go out to maybe to the Grand Canyon and do like Utah and all that stuff.
Okay. Like, and like,
I mean, you can come too.
I've been running. I'll keep up with my running.
Well, yeah. Well, get a pack. If you're ready, if you want to do it with us, get a pack and get ready. Let's plan it. If you want to join us, let's plan it. And you're going to have to go and like, take your pack on a long hike over the weekend, you're going to have to practice. Get your butt out. Yeah, practice for sure.
I've been doing weight training very well, so, and taking this freaking HIIT class at the Y that makes me want to die because it's an entire hour
of just
HIIT training. Yeah. Mm-mm. It is deadly. Deadly.
Yeah, I want to take a gym class. I'm looking into gyms to join here. I want to have one that has a lot of classes because I want to start taking classes again. But then, of course, because of my knee, I'm so freaking nervous.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Like, I did the hike, and the next day, my leg was just like, fuck you. How dare you do this to me? But today, I'm fine. Like, I'm not worried about, like, trying to catch a plane tomorrow. So, it should be all good. Which is nice. It's like, oh, modern medicine works. My leg is like a leg again.
Thank goodness.
Huh. Should, but yeah, I'm finally traveling for work again for the first time for my job.
Yeah.
And kind of like segueing into the John, a mini John. What the hell is going on with United Airlines? No. I'm supposed to take a United flight tomorrow.
That was
going
to be my anxiety corner.
Oh, that was your anxiety corner?
That was my... But like,
what the hell? Anyways, I'll leave it there and you can do...
No, we can talk about it because I do have something else I could talk about that popped into my head. But, I mean, it's funny to... I don't even... I was tweeting about it this morning, and I said I was full of rage, but now when you ask me to talk about it, I think I'm just so upset and disappointed and mad that I don't even know what to say about the whole thing anymore.
It's just like, how did the police get involved with an overbooked flight? Like, that's just my big question.
So, I saw some trolls that, you know, are defending this because there's always some
bootlickers
saying that he refused to get off and the other three people or four people did. But the thing is, that's not his problem.
Nope. It's just not anyone's problem that an airline overbooked the flight, needs to get their employees to the correct location, so they're gonna bounce a paying customer and not even bribe. Like, where's the bribe? Usually they bribe people for shit like that. Like, where's the free ticket? Where's the free upgrade? Where's the shit that, like, you know, gets people's attention? Like, no, it's like, you, sir, you have to get up. And then add insult to injury. This is like an Asian man, you know, so.
Who's a doctor.
Who's a doctor. And he even said why he couldn't get off the plane. I have to work tomorrow. How is that not valid?
If you can't book your own employees for a flight to get somewhere, that's literally no one else's problem. And nope. The justification that the other people got off, they shouldn't have gotten off. Like, it's, again, it's not the paying customer's problem. It's not their problem. And just because the other three got off, maybe they're going on a vacation or doing something minimal, so they're like, this is no big deal. But he clearly had somewhere to be. I just don't understand how they messed up and have the audacity to call the cops to drag out someone because they messed up. And then, I don't know who's on their PR team or their social media team, but they're fucking up.
Were they even active today? Like, I didn't even see United responding via Twitter because, like, this was, like, trending today.
So, the response I saw from their CEO says, "This is an upsetting event to all of us here at United. I apologize for having to reaccommodate these customers. Our team is moving with a sense of urgency to work with the authorities and conduct our own detailed review of what happened. We are also reaching out to this passenger to talk directly to him and further address and resolve the situation." AKA, they're still not
taking responsibility.
No, at all. I apologize for having to reaccommodate these customers. Nothing.
I'm sorry, getting physically dragged is not being reaccommodated.
And giving a like, man what? A bloody face.
Yeah. And there's people out there trying to lie and say that he fell down, that he hit his own head, not that his head was slammed into the armrest the way that all of the other passengers have been reporting it.
Yeah. And like, people are like, I want to add my 2 cents because I was on the flight and you didn't see this part. It literally does not matter. Did we see him physically assault a police officer to have to get dragged off the plane? No. So at the end of the day, literally nothing you can add to this.
United's been effing up a lot. Wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago they refused to let some girls get on the plane because they had on leggings and that was inappropriate, like, air attire? Get the F out of here. If it's uncomfortable, you have absolutely no room on those planes. Let me sit in some Daisy Dukes if I want to be comfortable. It isn't your... It doesn't matter.
I guess the one girl, too, was, like, what, the 12, 13?
Yeah, like a child. Like...
Yeah, I can't talk about this anymore.
Yeah, well, that was like the thing that was going crazy today. And I was just like, I have to get on a damn plane tomorrow. I hope I can get to Atlanta and back without any incident.
Listen, me too, because I don't have to. I don't want to. No.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Okay. We said it was going to be short, so here we go. Want to go right into the anxiety corner?
All right, guys. We're back with this quickie. We are giving you anxiety corner because we know you all love it. So Brittany's gonna go first. She's looking pretty anxious. Are y'all ready? In 3, 2, 1, go.
So you already know that 49 decided to
49.
Bomb 40, isn't it 45, not 49. Oops, I'm tired. He sent 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles into Sherat Air Base outside of Homs, Syria. So, if you may remember, Trump was very against any type of intervention in Syria, despite the fact there were so many pictures and images that were being circulated since 2013 of the atrocities that have been happening there, of the children, the babies, all the people that he talked about in his address to the nation on why he needs to bomb Syria. What was so crazy to me, that's so upsetting to me, is how the news fucking got off on him taking this decisive action. And people like Brian Williams were saying that he's a president now. Look at him. He 45 became the president today because he took action of war. And they did nothing with this. They didn't even destroy the planes that would send more chemical warfare to the civilians of Assyria. No, they just show, they're just like literally just show that we have these dicks and that we can throw a dick around when we want to and be ready for us to throw a dick at you if you do it again. But does it really stop anything? Is it going to stop anything? And what makes me so nervous is that we've opened up a can of worms. World War III, I smell it. It's around the freaking corner, and I am freaking scared.
Sorry, girl.
It's okay.
You gotta be scared in 2 minutes.
All right.
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
So, the topic of conversation for Anxiety Corner seems to be the Tomahawk sent to Syria, which makes a lot of sense. But I've been reading a lot about the cost of sending these things to add insult to injury on the fact that we didn't hit any of the planes actually carrying any of the chemical weapons. I've seen reports that it costs between $1 million and $1.4 million for each Tomahawk missile. So it'll cost, we'll range between, since we sent about 59, we'll range between $59 and $70 million to replace the Tomahawk missiles that we sent. And a lot of people have been comparing what this $70 million could do for the people, you know. My roommate pointed out to me that Trump, in his budget cuts, wants to cut funding to Amtrak. You know, trains, transportation for people. Since he doesn't use the train, who cares, right? You know, then funding for the arts, funding for public broadcasting, clean water for Flint, Michigan, the failing public school system, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, since nobody likes the word Obama in anything. Let's start a list of things that $70 million could have gone to instead of bombs to Syria to essentially just kill civilians while also not allowing them to come into our country when they are fleeing from their war-torn country. That is also not only being terrorized by their own people, but now America.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like that sounded really apathetic, but at this point, you guys, I'm just like, I can't even sound heated about any of this because I'm just bummed the fuck out.
I mean, it's just such a hot mess, and like intervention in a humanitarian crisis like this was needed years ago. And when Obama was trying to do that, the Republicans tried to stop it at every turn. And here we are now. And instead of having a thoughtful response, we're just literally sticking our finger in the sore, swirling it around and saying, are you okay? Like, what the hell?
Ugh. That was a very nasty visual I got by you.
But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We just took, instead of our finger, we just took 59 dicks, Tomahawk cruise missiles, and said, here it is. Oh my gosh, it's such bullshit.
Wait, we're breaking our rule. We gotta move on.
Okay, we have to move on. We have to move on. Okay.
Gotta move on. La, 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 la. Okay.
Ah.
So, I have a slight feeling we could possibly have the same giggle, cackle, or roar because I saw your tweets.
Yeah, well, we can definitely talk about that. I got a couple of things that I want to just like blast of giggles and cackles and roars because there's just a lot of things to shade on and then also be happy about.
Well, mine was going to be a happy cackle because when I saw it, I laughed the entire time.
Well, let's just get into it.
Okay. So I'm just going to say it so we can start. Chewing Gum Season 2. So I saw, I had a have a friend who, I had two friends. So I had one friend who posted on Facebook and said she didn't care for season 2. And I was like,
oh, she's stupid.
I was like, oh, I haven't watched it yet. I was kind of nervous. I was really upset. And I was like, oh, I hope it didn't suck. And then I had another friend who texted me and he was like, have you seen the show Chewing Gum? And I was like, duh. And he's like, okay, because when I started watching it, I instantly thought of you. And I was like, what? And if you guys don't know, I studied abroad in London and have been there a couple times now. I really love it. And I love British TV. So he was like, it's a black girl and it's British. So obviously I thought of you. And he said he loved season 2. He binge watched it. So Friday, I binge watched all season 2 and oh my God.
It's just too good.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
Okay. It's too ridiculous. How does she put herself in the most effed up situations ever, where I'm like literally was just like squirming in my bed because I couldn't take all of the shit she was going through. Oh my gosh, that first white bae, like
we were doing interracial dating the interesting way.
Interesting way, like I thought that was cute and that was funny. But then that creeper dude in the next episode. Oh. That trifling. But oh my gosh. And like, what was really funny was that in my online dating, I have run into this guy in different ways. And he's always ready to debate you. He's here, ready to pull your ass in. Oh, my gosh. But she had the best line. Was like, how do you end up like this? She's like, I'm a grown woman. And I sometimes find myself in childlike situations.
Yes. Accurate. Yo, that guy, though, I was like, I have never experienced this to this level. Well, like, has anyone experienced it to that level?
Like, the putting on the different garb, like, that was a level I don't know. But I've had white guys, like, really fixate on, like, the skin color difference in, like, it's like, oh, your only understanding of black people is through pornography, and I need you to step all the way back. Like, date over, see you next time. See you never, not even next time.
Yikes. Yeah, that show is like every awkward moment anyone could possibly have just thrown right in your face.
And the stuff that was going on with Candace, too. Like, her part just got so crazy. And then, I love the sister.
The sister is my
favorite. Sister is out of her mind. Character
on that show. When anyone asks me, when I was talking about it, I was like, oh, yeah. The sister, her, she's the best. She's the absolute worst, but the best.
But also, Ola was pretty great, too. Her gay cousin.
Oh.
and then Tracy, man Tracy, was that was just ridiculous.
That party that they went to?
His freaking boner. Craziest.
Gross.
Such a good freaking show. If you're not watching Chewing Gum, you're really behind the times. And like, as Americans, we're behind the times because they're already like on season 3. And like, we're only getting season 2 because of Netflix. So thank you, Netflix, for bringing us chewing gum. All hail the great God, Netflix, for giving our life. Yeah, chewing gum was great. I want to give a cackle to the Get Down Part 2, though, because that is trash. I tried to watch the first episode of the Get Down. I loved the Get Down Part 1 so much. I thought it was such an interesting telling. I loved the imagery of it, the use of kung fu and like 70s disco and like the creation of hip hop, so great. But the first episode of Part 2, I'm gonna give it another chance, but the first episode was just so trite and so corny, and they added all this weird shit to it that I was just like, why is it a cartoon now? Like, what is going on? It just didn't hit me the right way. I'll give it another chance, and I'll report back in a later episode if I turn around on it, because I love the show. And like, what's really great, I still love the performances, because the little boys are really freaking talented. I'm not a big fan of the girl. I don't think she's that great. They try to like act like she's like a Donna Summer / Beyonce in this like fantasy world, and she's just meh. Like, she's great. Like, she's cool. She's cute, I guess.
Or whatever.
Yeah. That's one cackle. I got like a couple of things. Oh. Remember when I was talking about Lawrence O'Donnell?
Yeah.
Who's like that white guy on the news that like really loves to give it to Donald Trump?
Yes.
Okay. Lawrence O'Donnell came on AM Joy this week. Yeah, I'm back on that crack called cable news. I'm back on it. I was on it this weekend. I'm like, it's a hell of a drug. It's a hell of a freaking drug. But he went on AM Joy and shaded the fuck out of Bill O'Reilly. Was just telling it like it is about his sexual harassment cases, and told Bill O'Reilly, come at me, bruh. Come sue me if you have an issue with what I'm saying, because the shit I am saying is facts. You know that man lost 55 advertisers this past week because it came out that Fox has spent $13 million covering up his sexual harassment cases?
Whoa.
$13 million. So people were just like, oh, no, we can't support this man. The same Bill O'Reilly that went after Ludacris. I think we talked about this in a couple episodes ago. He went after Ludacris when Ludacris was going to be one of the faces of Pepsi because of the Fast and the Furious. Because he was a person that degrades women. And how do we support someone who degrades women with his rap music? While he was sexually harassing and assaulting his coworkers. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. But I love it when the white men come after each other, and he was just ripping hair and shading and spilling tea all over the place. And Joy was just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What else do you want to say?
Yes.
How do you really feel? It's so good. Because Bill O'Reilly likes to say that he's a victim of being a powerful man, and all powerful men get rape allegations because they're powerful men, because there's women out there that are trying to take their money and take their status. And Lawrence O'Donnell was like, yo, I'm powerful. I don't have any cases. And he was like, look at Sean Hannity on your own damn station. He is like freaking huge too, and he doesn't have any of these things. Like, he's like, hey, white guys, let's all band together and say, hey, we're powerful white guys, and we don't sexually assault women.
What a concept.
But, you know, Bill O'Reilly is the victim.
Of course. Of course.
But it just tickled my tea. I was just having such a great time watching. I just love it. I just love it when he does that shit.
Oh, man. Something else I just thought of that isn't a giggle cackle roar. I think we would be remiss if we didn't send one up and mention the San Bernardino school shooting that happened today. As we're recording, and the two adults and the 8-year-old student that were killed.
The baby died? Oh, man.
In, a murder-suicide at an elementary school in San Bernardino, a city that has already experienced the terror of a gunman. We could get into a whole spiel about access to guns and weaponry and, you know, the statistics of how often white people go on mass killings. Because that could... You know what? I will suggest you check out Feminista Jones' Twitter feed. She did a really good thread of just all the numbers and statistics of how often mass shootings are committed by white people, particularly white men, if you want to know more. But I feel like all of the people listening to this already know that, but just in case, if you want some numbers, not trying to give you any alt facts here, we're all about real facts. So that is what I'll suggest, and I wanted to throw that in, that we mentioned that since we are recording on the day that it happened. And it's quite heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know, like, what all of the reasonings behind what went down. So, it's just sad. It's just unfortunate that we have to have shit like this happen so often. Yeah. One more thing. Everyone needs to stop caping for Kylie Jenner. She's a grown woman.
Kylie or Kendall?
Kendall. I'm sorry. I get all the K's all confused. Kendall Jenner. She's a grown woman. Stop apologizing to her. Stop worrying about her feelings about what happened. She made millions of dollars with Pepsi. So F it.
P-P-P-P-S? I was talking to someone and I was like, yeah, a white lady hands a white cop a Pepsi and all the racism and white supremacy and anti-blackness and patriarchy and classism and capitalism and the nonprofit industrial complex and the prison industrial complex are solved. And someone's like, oh, she's not white, she's white passing. First of all.
No, bitch is white.
You're getting them mixed up with the Kardashians. She's a Jenner, so both of her parents are white. She's a white. She's a white lady.
She's a white.
She is a white. So don't even try to come use that excuse. Like, if her last name was Kardashian, I would still be like, and this white lady, because when you look at her, she is a white lady.
Yep. She checks white off when they ask her.
They don't give her...
She doesn't put down Kardashian.
So, this white lady did this white lady shit with a drink that I still can't believe people actually drink.
It's so gross. Like, people were up here caping for the diabetes company. Like one tomorrow they were going to steal all of your Pepsi and you weren't going to be able to have it because of this damn commercial. But like, that's how, there are some people on my Facebook. I was like, are you a shareholder in Pepsi? Why are you so pressed about this? Let this company get this dragging, because they deserve this dragging. And it doesn't matter to you if they get dragged. They're just like hemming and hawing. Why are people so upset? Y'all just want to be upset about everything. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, old man, sit down. And these are not old people. These are people that went to college with me that were acting, like, really acting like they were on the payroll. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Contrary to what the Supreme Court says, Pepsi is not a person. Like, they do not have feelings. So they could take a public dragging. They make billions of dollars a year. They can take a public dragging.
Listen, even if you're a person, you do some shit like that, you can take a public dragging.
Yeah. But I can at least understand, oh, feel bad for this person that is, like, getting, you know, their whole ass handed to them. Like, I can understand having a little bit of empathy or sympathy for that, because maybe you've been a part of a dragging or whatever. Like, you've been dragged before. But, again, Pepsi stock still exists. All of their shares are still intact. Nothing bad happened to them because of this. They got some bad PR. And some people got fired. I don't know who got fired, but someone had to get fired. I want to know the ad company that was making this messed up ad, because, like, they're the ones that need to be shamed. If there's anyone that needs to be shamed, the people that made the ad. Get them out in public.
Yeah, I don't...
And then... Because, like, I swear they probably were the same folks that made that damn white is purity Nivea ad that happened on the same freaking day. Yeah. People have lost their damn minds. And you need to get some black people, black people of color in your damn leadership, so someone can have some freaking checks and balances. Because I know somebody's intern was like, nah, nah, nah. I'm sorry. Because apparently I was seeing that there's a lot of, you know, there's a hierarchy inside of any, like, major industry. And that there were a lot of junior staff people that were like,
no,
this is a problem. And they were like, you're a kid. I don't give a damn. And we're going to do what we want. And now
here they are.
They're back there like, I told you so. Anyways. We're going long now. So,
y'all can find us on the internet on Twitter at BLK Girls Laughing with an OG, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, on our website, blackgirlslaughing.com. You can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com, and you can check our personal Instagrams where we're giving you updates on our lives and doing really fun things. You can find me, B, at BEKNIGHTLY at B Knightley on Instagram. And you can
catch me on Instagram at Bree Hines. Bree like the cheese. Hines like Duncan Hines. Mixed it up today. Or Gregory Hines.
Sure. All right, guys. See ya.
Peace.